If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's in that group. It's in the meat of the New Testament. And while you're turning there, I want to celebrate this weekend on Friday and Saturday. We had a group of about, I don't know what it was, 15, 20, about 20 of you who you were training for evangelism to Muslims. And so we had 20 of you doing that, and that is wonderful. And you know, I trust that because God has led us to do that, then he will be leading us to reach Muslims. I do, I believe that. And you know, I tell you, that's a hard group of people to reach, and we'll have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and divine appointments to see that come to fruition. And I trust we will. I trust we will. We'll see that. And so I just want to celebrate. There's so many good things that are happening within the life of our church family that are outside of Sunday morning. And I wish I could tell you all of the wonderful things, but that's that. We're not in a series right now. I will begin our first series on January 29th. But until then, the Lord has given me just a few specific messages that I think he wants us to know in addressing some pressing issues with us personally. Last week, it was about letting go of the past so that we can step into the future. And I'm telling you, if you were here Sunday, you can testify the manifest presence of God was strong here in a strong way. And he worked. And I just love some of the feedback that I received from you about that. Next week will be Vision Sunday for us, where I will bring a message and communicate some specifics about what God has for us in 2023, what I believe that he is preparing us for. Today, the title of this message is Living with Peace. Living with Peace. I've preached about peace before a few times, but never quite with this lens today. And so the Lord just did a specific word to me about this, and I pray that he will speak to us specifically through a fresh lens today. Have you ever just had one of those days when there have been so much confusion whirling around in your head that you could just scream? You just want to scream, stop. We all have those kinds of days. Some of us have those kinds of weeks. Some of us have those kinds of months or years. The chaos, the busyness, the noise, it can get too much. And when that happens, we can be tempted to go to a flesh nature response and react to someone in an ugly way. We might lash out with them with our mouths or our emotions. It's just a response to the chaos and the lack of peace. We can do that. Or we may want to do the opposite, and we may shut down and we want to just run and crawl in the bed and binge Netflix for a while. Get depressed. But in the end, neither of those approaches work, do they? I want to tell you a little secret. You may know, you may not know. In this wicked, sin-filled world, apart from Christ, there is no such thing as peace. No such thing as it. Isaiah 57:20 tells us a simple principle, but the wicked are like the storm-tossed sea, for it cannot be still, and its waves churn up mire and muck. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And do you agree or disagree that we live in a sin-filled, wicked world? And without Christ, we are all in a wicked condition. Now, we'll use the word peace. We'll use that word. We will label things with that word. But by the world's definition, we can mistakenly think that peace is simply an absence of conflict. In fact, if you look that word up in the Webster's Dictionary, it will say an absence of conflict or having something restrained from you. And we can think that peace is simply, I don't have conflict in my life right now, things are going okay, I'm happy, those are my emotions, I'm at peace. We mistakenly label it that. But I want you to think, the kids can be asleep, the house can be quiet, the noise can be off, and you think you're going to get some peace and quiet. And it may be quiet in the house, but not in your heart. And your head is chaotic, and you're churning, and you're anxious, and you're worried, and you're fearful. All in the silence. And then you look for something to bring some calmness to you. To bring that, that peace. Just so you can sleep. Just so you can manage through the day. Just so you can face maybe the next month. Can anyone else relate? Do you know what we often do? We often can pacify. We'll call it peace. But what we really do is we seek to pacify our emotions and our thoughts with maybe a change of scenery. I wanted to go on vacation. I need a drink. Maybe some medication. Just to escape for just a minute. That's the truth of reality that we live in. And why is this so? I want to tell you a little bit of theology behind it. A lack of peace, inward peace, is caused by sin and living in a sin-filled world. That's the cause of it. And according to Scripture, the ruler of this sin-filled world is whom? Satan. And that might sound harsh, and you're like, what? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They're unable to see it. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, one of Satan's top number one jobs is to keep everyone as best he can in conflict of sin and blinded to what would bring you peace. And he wants to do it in a way that you wouldn't even recognize the blindness. You don't even recognize it. And his goal, we know, is to kill, to steal, and to destroy every life that he possibly can with such a lack of peace and such turmoil and such upheaval that you will, at some point in some level in your flesh nature, be driven to a point that you would, in your minds, even entertain the thought of ending it all just for peace. And some of you today know exactly what I'm talking about. It's easy to see how a non-believer can have lack of peace. We could see that, but what about the believer? See, a lack of peace for the believer comes when we believe the lies that Satan tells us to try to keep us in the conflict of sin. And Satan may be the god of this world, but when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we receive him in, we become a part of the kingdom of God. Satan's power at that point has no authority over the believer, not an ounce of it, unless you allow him to. Do you see that? He has no claim, no right, no legal right over the believer. And in order for him to have influence over you, you have to give it to him. You give it to him when you open yourself to sin and believe the lies that he's peddling to you. And when we believe the lies of the enemy, we will fall into sin. That is coming. And ultimately, bondage. That's the next step. And then the blinders. And the further and further away we get from the presence of God, we get away from the presence of peace. The bottom line is this. If the believer, if we are living without peace, that is a good indication that you are being distracted and lied to by Satan in this moment. To keep you in the conflict of sin, that's where he wants to keep you, and you're falling for it, and you're entertaining a lie. I need you to hear me lovingly say that. Here's the good news, though. You can live in peace, with peace in this world. You can do it. You can, and I want to show you how. So let's read our foundational passage, and then I want to share with you three principles of living with peace. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of reading of God's word. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and up on the screen it starts in verse 14, but I'm going to want to start today in verse 10, and I just decided that, and then the screen will pick up at 14, okay? But before we do, I want us just to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth. Would you do that? Pray with me, and then we'll read. So, Father, I kneel before you today and before your people, and I ask, Father, that you would put your anointing presence over this gathering today and over this message. I declare to you that I need you now in this moment. I cannot do this. I cannot. God, I need you to speak to your people. And I simply yield myself, Lord, as a conduit to be used by you. So, Lord, would you do it now? Would you open up every ear, every eye, every heart to hear and receive the truth of the word? Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. And we receive it, Lord, and we obey. Let that be our answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing. Here we go. Now, Colossians 3, the screen's going to start 14. I'm going to start in 10, okay? Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You see why I wanted to start there? All right. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. In other words, it does not matter at this point on how you come and who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter. Right now, we're united with Christ. And then he says, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us, those of us that know him as Lord and Savior. He lives in all of us. Verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, talking about you, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowances for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, here's verse 14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in, what's the word? Peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. If you're taking notes, here's the first principle that I want us to know about peace. If you're taking notes in your worship guide, here it is. Number one, peace is a person. Peace is a person. When I was praying about this message, this is the first thing that the Lord revealed to me about peace. And like I said, I've preached about peace before, but I feel like the Lord revealed something both simple and profound to me while writing this sermon. And I believe he said to me, yes, Daniel, I am the source of peace. I am the Prince of Peace, because peace is not a feeling. It's who I am. Peace is me. Then the Lord sent me to this passage, Ephesians 2:12. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Now that jumped out to me. He is our peace. Jesus Christ doesn't just bring peace, and he does. He brings it. He brings a ton of it. But he is peace. It's like last week, do you remember when we were talking about he's standing at the door and knocking, and you go and open it? Not only is he knocking at the door, he is the door. It's the same thing here. Not only is he the Prince of Peace, not only does he bring you peace, he is peace. Peace is a person. Not a feeling, it's not a condition, it's not dependent on your circumstances, it is not something that ebbs and flows. Peace is the person, Jesus Christ himself. To me, this idea of peace is a person, this just simple idea, changes the whole dynamic when praying for peace, when looking for peace, when desiring peace. It changes the approach. Because in those moments that come when my world seems chaotic and I'm feeling out of control, and those moments will come, I know if I desire peace, I run to a person. Not a feeling. It will do no good to us if we pray, oh God, send your peace to me. Peace come, would you? But we never go to peace. Jesus, in his wisdom, gave us a wonderful gift. It was a pretty great deal, by the way, when he was telling his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm sending somebody. And he actually sent the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to live in us so that we can have 24/7 access to peace if we want it. If Christ is in you, you have 24/7 access to peace, because peace is a person. All right, I want to show you that. John 14:26 says this. This is Jesus. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have told you. Then he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. In other words, this is not a passing thing I'm telling you. I'm just not giving you lip service. I'm actually putting myself in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. You will have full access to everything that I have. You will have full access to my peace. Peace be with you. It is with, I am with you, is what he's saying. Just because, and what he's saying is, just because you won't be able to physically touch me or physically be around me, you might not be able to see me. Here's the good news, fellas, as he's talking to his disciples. My Father is going to send my Spirit and all that I am to live in you so that you can know who I am and all that I bring. See, that's how we can have peace in this world. That's how we can, and that is always anti-peace. That's how we can be in peace. Because feeling isn't a thing. But peace isn't a thing, it's a person, and it's been sent to live in our hearts of every believer, ready to be accessed if you want it. But as you know, it's available, yes, on tap, it's available, but it is not automatic. Now, this brings me to our foundational passage in Colossians 3. So go back, 3:15, Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for to this you were called as members of one body, and then be thankful. Now, when we're bombarded with a lack of peace, for whatever reason, instead of throwing in the towel and giving way to the emotions that want to get the best of us, we're faced with a matter of the will. Okay, we're faced with a choice. We're faced with a matter of the will. Here's the question that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will propose to you. This is what he'll propose. He'll say, will you let me rule in you right now? He'll raise that question to you. Here's what Jesus is asking. Will you let me dominate and govern every emotion and situation that confronts you? See, your answer of the will at that moment is significant because it will determine the outcome. If you don't make the decision to surrender to the prompting of the Spirit, worry, fear, insecurity, doubt, and a host of other emotions will most assuredly be ready to take control. And so the roller coaster will resume again. All the ups and downs, all the fear, the anxiety, the whirlwind, all the noise, it will just keep happening. So the alternative then, according to Scripture, is to allow Christ to rule, and he rules with peace because he is peace. So what does that look like? Good question. I want to paint that picture for you. Now, this word rule, he says, I want to rule, let the peace rule in your life. The Greek word is brabuo, okay? This word is used to describe an umpire or a referee. They would have used this word then when they were talking about those who moderated or judged an athletic event. You know what a referee is. You know what an umpire is. So Paul told us, so that we could understand how Christ brings peace in the life of a believer, how peace operates there. He operates by umpiring or refereeing in our hearts, in our minds, and in our emotions. Okay? When chaos or detrimental circumstances and all of those emotions attempt to exert its control over our hearts and minds, it will work to throw us into a frenzy. That's what it wants to do. Satan wants to keep us in chaos, in frenzy. We can stop that from happening by making a choice of the will to let Christ's peace rise up from deep within us like an umpire to referee, to moderate our emotions. That's what he's saying. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your life. Now, here's what will happen when we do. When we turn to the person of peace, when we turn to Christ and say, Lord, you reign and rule over me right now in this situation. As we do, he promises we will be kept under the control of the unexplainable, supernatural, divine peace as it rules in our hearts. That's his promise. So when the peace umpire steps into the game, you follow me? When the peace umpire, who's the peace umpire? Jesus. When the peace umpire steps into the game and is calling the shots, when he's making the call, when he's making the decisions in the game, fear, worry, anxiety, all of those emotions are thrown out at the plate. You see that? Out of here is what he says. Out of here. Worry, out of here. You're out. You're not safe. The question is, who's ruling your game? Who's ruling your game? Someone, let me tell you this, it's not being unruled. Someone is ruling your game. Someone is calling the shots over your game. There is always a governing faculty, and if Christ is not ruling, I'm telling you who is. Scripture says Satan is ruling. You're allowing him to rule. Our son, Jet, he plays baseball. And last season, they were short some umpires. There was one game, they were short umpires. And they asked for the coaches if they could reasonably and responsibly moderate the game. And then that didn't go so well. Here's why. In the middle of that game, became a close game. When the call got tough, when it got stressful, and emotions came into play, the score was tight. The parents and the coaches, they didn't have the experience and the right perspective to always see and make the right calls in that game. And so there were wrong calls being made. Intentions were high. And the game became unenjoyable. And it was stressful. And it created conflict on the field that day. We needed help on the field. We needed the expertise of an umpire to make the calls. Here's the good news for you, church. If you are in Christ, if the Holy Spirit of God is living in you, you always have an umpire to rule in your game. He's always there. See, some of you are trying to call your own game, and you don't have the right perspective nor the expertise to do that. And that's not your job. And your game is getting stressful, and it is no longer fun. That's the first principle. Peace is a person. Here's the second principle. Living with peace. Peace defends. You got to know that peace defends. Now, if peace is the person of Christ, who defends then? Christ defends. That's how you can say it. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, we know that peace is Christ. It's not just what he gives, but it's who he is. If we allow him, he will rule in our hearts. Now, not only does Christ rule with peace, but he defends the peace. Now, I want you to look at that word guard in this passage, guard. That's a military term. And its translation is a garrison or a sentinel guard. Okay, that's what that word represents, the picture that it paints. Their job was to do whatever it took, both defensively and offensively, that's important, to ensure protection from an outside enemy. Okay, that's what it means. So here's what this scripture is saying. The peace of Christ is a guard for your heart against the supernatural snares of the enemy. You don't know how. It's beyond your understanding, but your heart stays protected. See, that's how a believer can go through some excruciating and most difficult circumstances and do so with a peace and assurance. Can anybody in here testify to that? You've gone through some excruciating circumstances. You've been in the midst of chaos, and somehow, supernaturally, you have felt the peace of God ruling in your heart. Does anybody else have that testimony? You all have that testimony. You know exactly what I'm talking about. See, this blows us away sometimes. I mean, and it will, and it blow the world away too. That's who it'll blow away. Those who don't believe. And we'll say, I don't know how they're making it through this situation so great. How are they doing that so gracefully? I don't even know how they're able to keep going with all that going on in their lives. And they're still ministering, and they're still being kind, and they're still loving to people, and they're still serve, and they're still thinking about other people. How are they able to do that? See, that's the supernatural peace of Christ at work in the heart of a believer, guarding the heart. Now, the only way that you can experience that kind of peace is if you have chosen the Lord to be your fortress, you've run into him, and you've surrendered to him. I've come to the fortress, Lord. You're my shield, my fortress, my deliverer, my strong tower, just like the song we declared today. When you run into him, you say, you're my fortress. I'm coming to you. I'm surrendering to you right now. And you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need you to rule in my heart right now. I need you to call the shots of the emotions in my life. I can't figure this out on my own. I cannot do this, but I need you to govern. I need your protection. And the Holy Spirit will say, listen to what he'll say. He'll say, get behind me. Read my word, get behind me. Worship, get behind me. Pray, get behind me. Get behind me. Don't be afraid. Look at me. Follow me, get behind me. That's what he'll say. And the Spirit of God that is living in you will inform you on how to respond. He'll inform you on how to feel. He'll inform you on how to maneuver, what decisions that you need to make, how to think, how to talk, how to live. And in the meantime, he's standing in front of you and fighting for you in two ways. Remember, I told you he works defensively and offensively. There are two ways he does it. He's working offensively, keeping you in close connection with Christ, because the Holy Spirit will always be pointing you to Christ, always be connecting you to the person of Christ. And he's working defense, defending you against the darts and the lies of the enemy that are sent to hurt you and throw you into chaos. That's how Christ protects you. Yes, that's good news. Listen, some of you are running for your lives today. I mean, you're running with your tongue hanging out. You're running and you're a complete mess. I mean, you're a mess. And you're uncovered and you're unprotected, and the arrows of your enemy are flying all around you, and you feel the wind from them. You've got two choices. You run to the Prince of Peace and let him rule and guard you, or you get shot and become a casualty of war. You're not getting off the field, by the way. We'll be on the battlefield until we're one day face to face with Christ. So you're either a lame duck on the field, or you're allowing the Holy Spirit to protect you while you're fighting. There is no off day for the believer. And guess who else doesn't take an off day? You got it. Today, some of you are wounded. You've come here and you're wounded. And the enemy is trying to take you out. Do not be fools about the enemy's plan over you. But you have all access and full coverage and protection and someone to help you manage your emotions and your actions so that you don't get shell-shocked and do something stupid. I'm telling you today, access your coverage. Run to Jesus as fast as you can. Run, 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 run. Today. And then when your feet hit the floor in the morning, when it hit the floor in the morning, find Jesus and run to him again. And then on the next day, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, find him on the battlefield and run to him again. And again, and again, and again, every day. Now, if you're not looking for him when you get up in the morning, if you're not looking for him on your battlefield, if you're not running to him, if you're not in the word, if you're not listening, if you're not praying, allowing him to speak to you, if you're not worshiping, if you're not in relationship with him, I guarantee you're going to get pelted. Some of you know in your knower, you know, yep, Jesus is on this battlefield somewhere. I know he is. He's here, but you don't know where he is because you're not looking for him. Some of you are running with your eyes closed. You're dodging the enemy's bullets left and right with your eyes shut. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, man, come on, open your eyes. Look, I'm right here, take cover. Now, I don't have a silver bullet. I don't have a secret formula to give you. I don't have a self-help guide. I don't have a breathing exercise or a medication to recommend to you. The only help that I have to offer you as your pastor to give you peace is the Prince of Peace, the author of peace, the ruler of peace, the defender of peace, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's all I've got to offer you, and he's enough. And he's enough. He's done it for me. He's my testimony. He's my only hope, and he has never failed to provide a supernatural peace to me when I run to him. My God has never, ever failed me. And I am here to tell you, my God will never fail you either. His umpire calls are always right. His defense is always impenetrable. You can trust him to give you peace. You've just got to run to him. You've got to run to him. Peace is a person. Peace defends. Here's the third principle, and I'm done. Peace leads to peace. Peace always leads to peace. In verse 15 again, it says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Now, understanding where he's in the context, he's talking about the body of Christ. Okay, here's what he's saying. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because inward peace within the individual that makes the individuals that make up a church result in unity within the body. Did you catch it? Did you catch what I'm saying? The church isn't a building. The church is you. You make up the church. We are the church. Okay? If we have peace ruling in our hearts personally, guess what that means when the body comes together? It means unity within the body. See? Peace makes peace. We have a peaceful gathering. Here's the truth. If you have turmoil on the inside, if you do not have peace inside, if you are in conflict inside, if you are, you will be in conflict and turmoil with those on the outside. At some level, you will be. Peace ruling in the life of a believer leads to peace ruling in the life of a group of believers. That's just how it works. And when believers are not living in the peace of Christ, when Christ isn't ruling in their lives, it affects the body. That's the context in which he's talking about in this passage in Colossians. And Satan knows, it's important that we know that Satan knows that the church is designed by God to be the bearer of peace to the world. We are. And if we're internally in chaos, individually, if we're internally in chaos and our churches are not unified, and we claim that we have the giver of all peace living inside of us, then guess what message that sends to the world that is looking for peace, by the way? It sends the message that we don't possess the real hope of peace at all. You see how contradictory that is? That's why in Hebrews 12:14 it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Why is this so important? Because peace is attractive to all. Yes or no? Yes. Have you ever noticed that you are drawn to people of peace? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, You're drawn to peacemakers. You want to be around people who have a demeanor of peace. Likewise, you try to steer away from people who sow chaos or conflict, don't you? You just steer away from them. You might not be hostile to them. You're Southern. We are Southern after all. But we'll just steer away. We'll just back off a little bit. I got that big thing. I can't. No, I thank you. No, that's okay. See, you know people everywhere they go, there's a crisis around them. Something's always wrong. There's always an offense. Everything's just always chaotic. And when this person walks into a room, you get on eggshells and I just rather not. If you know someone like that, I want you to hear me very carefully. Hear me. If you know someone like that, have mercy and grace for them because they do not have the peace of God ruling in their lives. And it's a sign of bondage. And if you've been set free, you'll have grace for them that are not. And you will want them to be. Mercy and grace. And if it's you that you're there, the Holy Spirit's saying to you, that's you. You're that guy. You're that gal. I have good news for you. You do not have to live that way another minute. You do not. You don't. Not a minute. But those who have peace ruling in them, they are peacemakers. They light up the room. You look forward to seeing them. They're a breath of fresh air for you. We're attracted to those persons, and it's the Spirit of God working in those persons that make them attractive. It's not just something that they muster up on their own. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to be doing a series on that, so I'm not going to deep dive on it, but in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses these people in the section on the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." You familiar with that verse? Okay. Do you know what makes someone a peacemaker? A peacemaker in that particular verse is translated in the Greek as someone who actively proclaims God's word to reconcile the listener to the Lord. Now, that's not just talking about a pastor or an evangelist. Yeah, so you can't pass that off on, you know, peacemakers, those who are trying to reconcile people, the listener to the Lord. That's okay. But what it's talking about you and me and our everyday operations and our conversations that we're talking about and our actions, and it's in sowing peace through truth and love. When we're having conversations with someone and they might say, I'm really struggling with this right now, or this is kind of happening in my world, it's the Holy Spirit working in you, and you're like, you know what, I've walked through that too, and here's what the Lord did for me. See, at that moment, what are you doing? You're sowing peace into that person because the peace is a person, right? Here's what the Lord did for me. So now you bring up the Prince of Peace. You bring up the Person of Peace. And then you say, here's my testimony of what he's done for me. Here's what he can do for you. And see, in your interactions and what you do, it doesn't have to be just this long drawn out religious thing, but it's just where you're constantly sowing peace. I mean, you know what? You don't have to do. Oh, I've been there, and I'm going to be praying for you because I know that my God can heal what you're going on. You're sowing peace. Every time whatever the listener's going through, when you're talking to them and you're reconciling them to the Lord, and what means you're saying, hey, my God is your answer. My God, he's done it for me. He'll do it for you. When every time you do that and you point somebody to the Person of Christ, you're in the act of reconciling them to the Lord and bringing them in right relationship to the Lord and turning their face to the Lord. That's what you're doing. That's what we're constantly to do. He will lead, the Spirit of God will lead us to do that. You could say it this way: a peacemaker will be someone who God is using to help see people come to Christ, help believers find freedom and deliverance from their sin, and not only grow in themselves, but helping people grow, not only people growing themselves, peacemakers, but they'll be helping other people grow too. And you know, that's the vision of our church: see people saved, set free, and growing. Peace makes peace. That's what I mean. Peace makes peace. There is no unity in the body without it, and the body of Christ is not effective for the sake of the kingdom without it. Now here's the final passage, and this will sum up this point. The peace makes peace. This will sum it up, and then I'm done. James 3:13 says this. I want you to follow me carefully. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Now, here's the turn. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It is gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You see, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. If you're a peacemaker, that's going to become a natural proclivity of you through the power of the Spirit. That is not a flesh result. We don't, in our natural flesh, make peace. That's only the work of the Spirit of God in us. When we know the person of peace, spending time with Him, running into the refuge, when we're surrendering to the person of peace and we experience peace in our own lives, peacemaker, we will become a peacemaker because we know where our help comes from. Peacemakers will naturally, out of the outflow, sow peace. And that's how the world will know that there's something different about us. That's the attractiveness. And I want you to see. Here's what I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to walk away with today. Stop making the peace of Christ as a thing to be acquired and see peace as a person to surrender to. You see the difference? Stop looking for peace as something to acquire, but it's a person to surrender to. And then to allow Christ, who is peace, to rule in your life through the Holy Spirit. And take the peace that God brings and be peacemakers, sow into others so that they can live in peace also. I believe that's what it means to live with peace. I do. And I believe God gave us this message today because it's critical for our future. Here's what I know, and I say this humbly. When people come to Cultivate Church, praise God, and it is by His power, this is Him at work, they describe Cultivate Church as a warm, loving, peaceful place. And that is my personal experience, and I believe yours as well. People will sometimes say there's just something different about Cultivate. They'll say that. And I'll say, you know what the difference is? The difference is the love of Christ. You know, we've been growing fairly rapidly, and we trust that the Lord will continue to do that, but that's not because of me. It's not because of any program. It's not because of our facilities. It's not because of any of that. I believe it is because the love of Christ is the Holy Spirit doing the attractive work. And God wants to make Cultivate Church, every church, a place of peace and refuge. He wants it to be where when people come from the outside who don't know Christ, they'll be like, they might not know what that is, that feeling is, but they will sense peace as they even come walk in the door. And in God's good grace, He will fulfill the vision for our church of seeing people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing. Do you know what that means? That means first, He'll have to send unsaved people, He'll have to send people in bondage, and He'll have to send people stuck. And they're going to be needy people like we are. And if we're not peacemakers, if we don't understand where the source of peace comes from, and we don't live and operate this church out of love and peace, we will never be effective with the vision that God has called us to in our future, to minister and love and be a haven for people that He wants to send to the body. You with me? I believe that's why He wants us to hear that message now at the beginning of the year, because I believe as the year unfolds, we will have to put it into practice. Gird your loins. Peace is a person. Run to the source. It will guard you. And we become peacemakers.